Hey, who do you think has the better shot at winning the retiring Debbie Stabenow's Senate seat, a Democrat or a Republican? It's 800-859-0957, 800-859-0WJR. There are a lot of members of the GOP who believe they can run on a mandate to turn this country around. Even a former Democrat, Kevin, who just became a Republican, Alexandria Taylor, and now she is running for the Senate seat as a Republican, as is a former candidate for Congress, Ezra Scott.
That's right, Tom. Alexandria Taylor and Ezra Scott are now in the Senate race. They may not sound like big names, but you know what? Yeah. Maybe it's time to forget about the names we know. Maybe it's time to get to know some new candidates with fresh perspectives. The Michigan Senate race, man, that is a key spot. The Dems have held it forever. Republicans would love to have it. But they're a little short on recognizable names. Is that a good thing or a big problem? Let's bring in John Selleck, CEO of Harvard Strategic Public Relations. Hey, John, how are you?
Good morning, Kevin and Tom. How are you?
Good. Appreciate you coming on today. This is an important seat, right? It's a big deal. The Senate's pretty close, kind of one seat advantage for the Democrats
that
right
matters.
Now.
Well, yeah, it's a huge deal in the U.S. Senate. It's just so very close. I think Debbie Stabenow had to go out of her way to make it okay for her to retire. I think a lot of her friends and supporters, starting with the president on down, were going to say, hey, what are you doing retiring? You're only 72. You're like a full generation younger than the majority of the U.S. Senate right now. You shouldn't be going home to have fun. You should be stuck here with the rest of us. She made a good decision to have her own life, and she did a good job helping clear the field for Alyssa Slotkin, who's out there running right now. But on the GOP side, this morning, thinking about this reminded me of that old Tom Petty song line, I feel summer creeping in. I kind of feel like right now on the GOP side, I'm kind of feeling 2022 creeping in. We're going to have a cast of hundreds, just like we did for governor.
So do we need a big name? And if so, why haven't big names jumped in? There's plenty of them.
Well, first, there's sort of this bad aura around the GOP in the Senate. The GOP is only one term in the U.S. Senate from Michigan going back into the 70s, and that was Spencer Abraham's 1996 to 2000 term when Debbie Stabenow knocked him out. Secondly, the state party is in disarray right now and kind of floundering, so there's no obvious base of support to say, hey, let's clear the field, let's get somebody in here. There is no equivalent of Debbie Stabenow or even Gary Peters, who runs the Democrat Senatorial Campaign Committee, who can make some of these moves to try to set someone up to run. So for now, what we're going to see are a whole lot of folks coming in. And we know this isn't surprising. This has been the GOP. The doors are like wide open for people to get in and run and see if they could maybe catch fire at some point. In the absence of a bigger name that's dominating the field, in the absence of a Alyssa Slotkin type character on the GOP side, why shouldn't more people get in? And we are going to hear about more names. I think the biggest name that we've heard trying to make the case that he will get in, or at least said he's 80% in, is James Craig. And based on how well he was doing last time, despite the signature fiasco, I think if he got in the race, he probably would jump into the lead, is my guess.
Yeah, it sounds like we spoke to him recently. It sounds like he's going to get in this thing. In terms of a U.S. Senate seat, that's a major position. And we saw the last couple of Senate races. They were close. John James was the candidate, the Republicans, going against Stabenow in 2018, then Gary Peters in 2020. But he hadn't really run for anything prior to that. Do you think getting into a Senate race as your first race is the best thing to do?
It's incredibly tough, and certainly by the old standards, of which we kind of cast aside minute by minute nowadays, it's insane to think that you should run for Senate first thing out of the box, particularly, Tom, if you're not a self-funder. And that's what the GOP probably needs at this point. That's why we've heard plenty about John Tuttle, a guy from originally Oakland County that now runs or helps run the stock exchange in New York. He might come back. He's kept a residence here. We've heard of maybe Kevin Rinke making another shot at it. We've even heard rumors of Perry Johnson, once his Newsmax show is over, coming back to Michigan and running for Senate. So I'm guessing we're probably still going to see a self-funder who will be an outsider. And then, of course, Peter Meyer has kept his name sort of in the mix. If there's a whole lot of competition in a primary, like kind of seems to be building, there might be a path for him to get through that. But at this point, you know, the Democrats and Alyssa Slotkin are looking over at the GOP side, and they're happy.
Yeah, one of them, the latest two candidates that came out to run and enter into this race is Alexandria Taylor. She was a Democrat very recently, but she's expressed concerns now about the direction of the Democratic Party, in particular on racist issues. She's an African American, and she does not agree the way the Democratic Party has addressed that issue. What do you think of her chances? And she's aligned herself with Christina Caramo, which is also surprising. She's really changed her direction. Is she more? Do you know much about her? Is she more middle of the road type of Republican, or is she suddenly gone to the far right?
Well, she's new on the scene, and having been in the Democratic Party and previously run in recent elections, both for state house and as a judge from the Democratic side, there's not a lot of people on the GOP side that know her yet. She certainly made a splash over the weekend jumping in. And when we talk about chances, we always have to think, guys, about we're talking about first the primary and then the general. And, you know, at this point, you'd have to think that Alyssa Slotkin has a massive advantage for the general. On the primary side, seeing that Alexandria Taylor is aligned with the chair of the Michigan GOP, Christina Caramo, that Trump endorsement is still huge. And we see that in the polling numbers around the country in the presidential race. Should President Trump come in and endorse someone like her, then suddenly she could shoot right to the top, just like Tudor Dixon did last time. And that's why I said at the beginning, I kind of feel like this has some echoes of how the 2022 governor's primary went.
I don't like the idea of the candidate having to be a self-funder. I don't know that it's a good thing that we only have millionaires and billionaires who mm-hmm. might make it because they have to pay their own way. Why can't the national GOP dump money on this and the Michigan GOP? Is this still that Trump factor? If you support Trump, we're not going to put any money out there?
Well, you know, we really haven't seen them do those kind of things for the most part. I don't even know that they necessarily did that with John James, although they really did want him to run, and they eventually supported him as his numbers showed something. So they want to see people who can exist first, who can kind of walk, and then the DC folks will help you run, literally, forward. And so right now we don't have anybody in the primary in the GOP side who can kind of walk on their own. There's a lot left to prove before money will, quote, be poured in there, if it ever will be. The advantage on that front is simply that the battlegrounds the close margin in the Senate means the GOP has to keep looking at Michigan. Nobody expected Stabenow, who probably could not be beat, to step aside. So this is the one chance they have to beat Alyssa Slotkin. And we have to look at Alyssa Slotkin outside of our little political bubble, like where we pay attention, because she's only existed as a member of Congress for a few districts or a few cycles from one small area of the state. She's got a long way to go to introduce herself to the state. And I think that's in part why a lot of other candidates have started to creep into the race, particularly African Americans who feel they're underrepresented in the Senate as a whole, and certainly in the primary in Michigan. And they're going to try to give Alyssa Slotkin a run for her money. But right now, she does have the leg up.
She has a leg up, and she portrays herself as a moderate. Her voting record would say otherwise. But that's the message that is out there. And so that's what something the GOP has to kind of counter with their own strong messaging with a strong candidate. We'll see what happens. Always appreciate your perspective on this. John Selleck, the CEO of Harbor Strategic Public Relations. Thanks so much, John. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, have a good one. Yeah, Kevin, I mean, the Democrats have to defend 23 seats in 2024. The GOP only has 10 seats in play, so they have the advantage here. But Michigan is one of those opportunities that they've got to get if they're going to push this thing over. All right, more to come. We'll talk more about this and other things as well next, 760 WJR.